What is up, podcast listeners and Alexa listeners? This is Eddie Picasso, and I am your host for this week in the Rio Grande Valley. Today is day three, or episode three of a three-part series that of interviews that I did late last year, trying to find my voice, trying to find my rhythm, and trying to find my true calling, to be honest. So at that time, the podcast series was the Super Secret Side Hustle Hack Show, which is now this week in the Rio Grande Valley. Like I said, at that time, I was still trying to find my mojo. And so I got to start interviewing. And I started with my network, with people that I already knew, that I had networked with, who had attended the same events that I had. And some people were even influencers. So I was super grateful that they took time out of their busy day to actually sit down with me and talk to us and share with us a little bit of their wealth of knowledge for this podcast. Like I said in episode number one, I kind of did a disservice to all the listeners by just airing half of the episode or half of the recording, and then offering to sign up for an email list to listen to the full interview. And I feel like that was a disservice, because at that time I had a different objective, and I wasn't truly living to my principles of value, adding value, as much value as possible, quantity and quality and value. So I decided to right my wrongs and actually air the full episodes here on this newly revamped This Week in the Rio Grande Valley radio show or podcast show. So today's episode is super special, just because so Ms. Adaceris Perez, she's super amazing. She's the true meaning of an entrepreneur, and true meaning of going through such emotional hurdles throughout her life, and being able to adapt and overcome, and being able to, as a woman, and not only as a woman, but as a Latino woman, being able to really thrive and shine in a really competitive corporate world. So she just released her book late last year, which is super amazing, and I got to sit down with her over lunch and really hear her story. And it just, if I try to paraphrase it and try to talk about everything that she mentioned, I would be doing another disservice, and I wouldn't be living up to her true story. And I just think she does a great job of telling us, giving us a little bit of her, shining a little light of where she comes from, what she's all about, what she's been through, and how she's able to accomplish, and what's keeping her motivated and keeping her pushing forward to accomplish all her tasks and everything that she set out to do. So she's originally from Puerto Rico, a Latino woman. She's just wonderful. That's all I can say. She's super wonderful. You've got to get her book to find out her entire story, which she really talks to us. She shares a little bit of it in our interview. So I hope that you take something from this, and I hope it touches somebody at home, and you can really touch it or catch it and really run with her true insight and everything she's got to offer. So I hope you enjoy this. Thanks for tuning in. Love you guys. Peace. Hey everybody, this is Eddie Picasso, and today I'm talking with Ms. Adaceris Perez. She's a new author of the new book of Anxious Mom, Anxious Child, A Mother's Journey from Anxiety to Serenity. I'm super excited to have her, because she's going to be sharing with us some tips, tricks, and secrets every new person needs to shortcut their way to success towards creating wealth, creating success, and getting greater results faster. So welcome, Ms. Adaceris. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of your background, your education and experience?
Thank you. Good morning, Eddie. I am so excited to be here with you today in this conversation, and excited to share what I've learned through life experience with your viewers and followers. So let me start from the beginning. I'm originally from Puerto Rico, born and raised in a coastal town. And I went to college in San Juan, which is about 45 minutes from the town I grew up. I went to school at the University of Puerto Rico and earned a bachelor's degree in mass communications. So a lot of advertising, journalism classes, and public relations, all focused on good writing and understanding how to reach a lot of people through messages via media, television, radio, newspapers, etc. Years later, I moved to Atlanta, where I found a job at CNN, and I started working from the very bottom as an intern, as a temp, and then slowly I started finding opportunities to move up the ladder. Many years later, about 14 years, after I started with Turner, I decided to leave the company, and I was very interested in doing something different in a different industry. That led me to many adventures, very great adventures in health communications. I'm still currently doing work for CDC as a communications consultant, but it has not been a smooth ride this past few years. However, throughout this journey, as you know, some beautiful gifts have come to my life, which I'm very grateful for.
Awesome. Outstanding. Well, thank you very much for sharing that. And I'm sure being a Latino woman is specifically, it comes with its own set of challenges. And I'm sure there's a lot of that you have overcome, adapted and overcome, which is the nature of any side hustler, any person who's out there trying to make it on their own. So that's fantastic. I think you have an amazing story. What is the tip you wish that someone had shared with you about your success, about your journey that you were about to take when you started going through your journey, that you wish you would have they would have told you before you started out?
Yes, I love this question, Eddie, because I think we take for granted the advice of our parents and grandparents. And, you know, as Hispanics and Latinos, the family unit is so important, and the family advice, it's paramount in our life. It seems like we live with those voices reminded in our head. Every now and then, I just remember the advice of my dad, who gave me a great advice when I was young, very, very, a little girl. He himself did not have the choice to choose what he wanted to do for his career. He came from a very humble family who worked very hard to buy a drugstore, a local shop in the center of the town. And his mom and dad expected him to follow on their footsteps and continue growing that drugstore. Now, his passion really was not in pharmacy, but he felt like he did have to follow what his parents wanted for him. But the great thing about his advice was not that he limited us to believe that we had to, like him, follow on his footsteps. Quite the contrary. He said, you will do what you want for your future, and you should choose a career and a path that makes you happy. And he even said, if we have to put a lock in that door and shut down the pharmacy, that will be the end of it. So that's the one thing and advice that I appreciate that I got from my dad. Now, let me tell you very briefly about advice that I didn't get that I wish I would have gotten. And the first one is, nothing that you fear is real. Nothing that you fear is real. Now, we walk through life with so many fears, we don't even recognize they're there. But when we're hesitant about taking a decision, whatever financial, emotional, or personal decision, and there is a feeling of discomfort, quite often it's an indication there's a fear hidden behind it. So pay attention to your emotions. Nobody ever told me pay attention to your emotions. Your emotions guide you to an inner fear that you should face. And when you release your fears, you will find strength to accomplish, to try new things, to look at life with a new purpose, an adventure way of looking at things. So you become more adventurous when you face your fears.
That's such a powerful message, and I completely agree with it. I think that's one big thing that I like to talk a lot about is
all those limiting beliefs that were instilled in us growing up, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it kind of builds a fear, a wall of fear around us that kind of forces us to stay within our comfort zone a lot of times, and that doesn't help us grow. I'm super grateful for what I've done the past, my whole adult life. But I think I could have done so much more if I would have known about these fears and over getting out of my comfort zone and all these limiting beliefs that were instilled in me growing up by teachers and parents, sometimes outside of our awareness, right? I think that's such a powerful message. So thank you very much for sharing that. That's amazing.
Another aspect to the fear factor is that fears are healthy. We all have fears for a good reason, because they protected us from getting into trouble when we were growing up. So we cannot disqualify all the fears in our life. But what we need to do is evaluate, where is this fear coming from? Is this fear protecting me at this point in my life from making a mistake? Or this fear is holding me back from accomplishing something that perhaps would bring me a lot of joy. Another great advice that I never heard, Eddie, was to follow my joy. It's one thing to hear, yes, go for what you want. But when you focus on following your joy on a daily basis, focusing on what makes you happy. If it makes you happy to cook a wonderful meal for your family, perhaps this is something that you could do for someone else. And the more you do that little thing that brings you joy, the more that thing can expand. And then you can find yourself doing more joyful things more often in your life.
Right, absolutely. You're completely right. Completely agree 100% with that. That's such a powerful message. Thank you for that. What are the three biggest pitfalls on the journey towards success to watch out for that would really help our audience overcome their pitfalls or any hurdles that they may need to overcome?
Very important, Eddie, because I think if in order for us to overcome our challenges, we have to know ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to look at ourselves closely because we are uncomfortable with what we may find. We sometimes remember the mistakes that we've done. We all have made mistakes. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, sometimes we look at, you know, the hair that I didn't have, the color of the eyes that I didn't get. My brother has blue eyes, and can you believe it? I used to be the one asking my mom, why didn't I get blue eyes, mom? Oye, ¿por qué yo no tengo los ojos azules que tiene mi hermano? And the truth of the matter is that you grow up with the sense of lack, even when you're trying to love yourself. And I think knowing yourself and knowing your strengths, perhaps I didn't have the blue eyes. Obviously, I didn't have the blue eyes, but I have XYZ abilities that make me unique. So knowing ourselves, knowing our strengths, not trying to be anybody else, and appreciating the uniqueness in each one of us. Super important.
Amazing. That's awesome.
Yes. So a couple more. I also wanted to share that, again, as Latino and Hispanics and growing in tight communities, sometimes faith, religion, and los vecinos, the neighbors, have a big impact in the way that we grow up in our belief system. And we have to balance how much of the exterior world we're going to allow to influence our decisions. Because my mom always said when I was growing up, ay, ¿qué va a decir la gente? What is everyone gonna say? To follow the norm and the rules at some point, but sometimes you have to just be okay with being different and doing things your way.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And that kind of goes into we talked about it on the last couple of interviews that I've had about creating that empowering environment, right? There's a lot of people that You can be in an environment where there's people that are going to be trying to hold you back or trying to criticize you. And a lot of times it comes from a good heart. A lot of times they're, John Maxwell calls it the crab effect, which you have a bucket of crabs and one crab tries to crawl out and the other crabs inside the bucket still try to pull them down. And that's kind of what happens to us around our immediate circle, our inner circle, before we start on this journey where we're trying to become better, be more. And then there's those people that are holding us back by either criticizing us in their own way, in their own loving way, but still holding us back just because they love us. And creating that empowering environment is very important. And being you, doing what you want to do, right? That's critically important for your success.
Learning new things at any age in our lives and not feel that a certain time has come and I am too old to do XYZ. Right. It's never too late to start something new, but it often requires us to learn new skills. So we need to always be learning, always be adding new tools to our toolkit in life. New tools, always.
Absolutely. I agree. That's 100% with you. Tony Robbins says everything in life is either growing or it's dying, right? So it's always important to keep on growing, to not to go downhill, go uphill instead of downhill, right?
and not get too comfortable, never be too comfortable with where you are, because before you know it, something's going to change. So it does mean that you enjoy what you have and that you're grateful, but that you continue adding to your life experience in the way of like reading new books, attending new events, meeting new people that you didn't know before, that, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we have to strike a conversation with someone we don't know. Well, in meeting new people, you are opening yourself up to receiving new messages and important lessons that might be just around the corner.
Yes, absolutely. That's great. I think you cut off when I was talking about it, but that empowering environment, surround yourself with people that are going to pick you up. I think that's important. What is the single greatest secret every new person needs to know to speed up their journey towards success?
I think the single best advice or the single best step that a person should take in order to advance their career or business goals or to start their own business is to define the objective and to stay focused in that particular objective. Focus on one thing and try to do that one thing at a time. Do not overstretch yourself with 3, 4, 5 ideas at a time. Focus on one idea. If that idea does not work, that's fine. Then you scratch and you pick a different idea. But when you give your all to that one idea, you are going to put every energy and resource in your life toward that one main objective and not get distracted with too many things at the same time.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. That's brought up a couple of times now. And I think that's big on people like us or people that are side hustlers, or they have a 9-to-5 and they're wanting to do their own thing, that they're go-getters, right? We have that go-getter mentality. We can take on anything. And I can speak for myself on that we think that we can take on so much, that we can do so much, that we end up we put our hands in all kinds of buckets, and then we spread ourselves kind of thin and we kind of get nowhere. And Steven Larson, I spoke to him a couple of days ago, and he said the same thing: focus on that one thing. And I think there's also a book about that. It's actually called that, The One Thing, to focus on the one thing. So thank you for bringing that up. I'm glad that we made a specific point on that, because I think that's important. Are there any other juicy tips, tricks, or secrets at this time that you would like to share with the audience?
I think I would like to share with the audience that finding moments in your life when you feel peace and comfort and calm inside, it's very important to re-energize. We all go through moments when we feel lost. We feel like we're really not getting where we want to be in life. But if we don't re-energize and go back to our center to find strength to move forward, it's going to become a bit harder to move to the next step, whatever that may be. So how do we find calm, peace inside so that we can re-energize? I like to suggest that people, whoever is around you, can join you, or you can go by yourself to a place where there's nature. There's also our communities, organizations, there are religious organizations that are bringing a lot of support to our communities, but you don't necessarily need to meet in a congregation or in a church in order to feel calm, peace. But it is important that you find those moments when you go inside and you just sit with yourself in silence and you find positive thoughts, calming thoughts. You can play soft music, or you could just simply stay in silence and experience. Sometimes nature, experiencing nature, brings a lot of peace. Just sitting under a tree, looking up, appreciating the ground, putting your hands in the ground, just being with nature, in nature, can bring a lot of calming thoughts to ourselves, to our mind, to our spirit, which is very important to re-energize and then go back at it with a lot new perspective, with a whole new perspective and a new spirit, a revamp of yourself, sort of speak. Finding your free flow after re-energizing is very important.
Absolutely. I agree. John Maxwell, in the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, he has a whole chapter dedicated on that called the Law of Reflection. For you to take some time and actually reflect, get a re-energized. So that's to dedicate a whole chapter to just that. It has to be important. And thank you for bringing that up. Is there anything else I haven't asked you about creating wealth, about success, and the hidden pitfalls that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think for men and women out there, we should also talk about understanding how money can be an element that can free ourselves in our lives, but it can also burden ourselves. So we have to have a healthy relationship with the financial aspect of the way we live in. We need money, we need resources to live a better life in some regards. But we have to understand that first, and this is a Susie Orman advice, first people, then money, then things, which means values, feelings, your relationship, personal relationship, friends, family, having strong bonds and strong relationships comes first and foremost before money, before things.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Ms. Aracelis. Thank you for such a great interview. I think you provided such amazing value. I'm super grateful that you could join us for this interview. So thank you very much for that. Can you tell us a little bit about where our audience can learn more about you, specifically how your book can help side hustlers or anybody who's starting their journey and to succeed in their business or their side hustle?
Thank you. Thank you for that, Eddie. Definitely, I have recently embarked in this journey of writing a book. I just launched a book, and it has been an amazing accomplishment, a personal accomplishment that I always dreamed of. And it has opened the door to many other opportunities. So as a good side hustler, I'm squeezing in time to continue to work with my clients. Life strategy and book coaching clients that I am helping, while I continue with my job as a communications consultant. So I encourage your followers and everyone who is watching to log on to Amazon to get the book, Anxious Mom, Anxious Child, A Mother's Journey from Anxiety to Serenity, and to check out my website, breathemommybreathe.com. We are also on Facebook, Breathe Mommy Breathe, and I look forward to connecting not just with mommies, but whoever would like to chat about writing a book or starting a new business or simply transitioning in life to a better experience to achieving their goals.
Thank you very much, Ms. Celis. So again, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you, our audience, for joining us for this amazing presentation of tips, tricks, and tools on creating a successful journey that can help you massively improve your results. Thank you very much, Ms. Celis Perez, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.